What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, The Hype. This is episode 240. I know, 240 episodes. It's crazy. This is our first episode back on MojoBreak.com for the video portion on MojoBreak's YouTube. So make sure you catch the clips on MojoBreak's YouTube. The full clips will be on MojoBreak Media, the full entire show. And obviously, if you're listening audio, just hang out where you're at. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about on this show. There's been some scandals in this hobby with platinum card breaks, with some backyards back in the news as well. So we're going to discuss and give a breaker's point of view on that. And we're going to do a box break on SP Authentic Golf that just came out. And we're going to talk a little NBA with the Eastern and Western Conference Finals in full swing starting, already started. We got the Warriors and Mavs today. So thank you guys for joining. Make sure you hit that subscribe wherever you're digesting this. And make sure we got a good deal on our MojoBreakShop.com, which ties into our shop. If you guys are into buying sealed wax and getting great deals, there's already great deals on the site anyway, MojoBreakShop.com. Use code MAYHYPE all together. MAYHYPE will get you 10% off already low prices on MojoBreakShop.com. And that's separate from our breaking site. That is, you get the box sent to you. You open it. You become your own breaker. So, but we'll have some stuff going on for MojoBreak.com as well. Impeccable's out. Actually, we forgot to tell you, Impeccable, first off the line, arrived today. So we've got like a whole week.
Bruh.
So
The Dutch auction.
I'll get some up.
The Dutch auction was yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. How about
overnight?
That? Yeah.
So that's a new Panini thing. They're going to give it to you right away.
I don't understand.
First off the line now, not last off the
Panini,
line.
Panini, you didn't have to do that. You don't have to do that, Panini.
So yeah, be sure to get on C-Rad's favorite product, Impeccable 21-22.
Oh, I'm on
basketball.
It. I gotta add it for the weekend now.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So get in on those breaks. And
my mind was blown this morning.
Yeah, I actually, the tape they use is similar to the same tape that they changed the tape. It looks like when you get like Adidas shipped in and they have that tape around it. I was like, somebody ordered six pairs of shoes? It was like in six cases, right? So yeah, so we got Impeccable.
It's crazy. It came in faster than I was able to correspond with you guys that I actually ordered cases. You guys didn't even know that I ordered cases.
No.
And it's already here.
I didn't even know that first off the line Impeccable drive. I should have paid more attention, but I've been busy moving this week, so it's been crazy for me.
We got six cases, so rock.
I'm ready to go. I hope you guys are ready because Impeccable is awesome.
Let's go.
What a steal.
And I know we're on a complete other side note here. Do we know what the exclusive is? Is it a
it's card?
Auto? Yeah, well, yeah.
It's card.
I hope so. Is it
card.
A
basketball card?
It's got to be one metal a box, right?
A metal auto, maybe, no? Or maybe just
I would
a metal.
Hope. Or maybe just a metal.
It's card.
Yeah. An exclusive numbered metal, probably.
It's basketball.
It's awesome. All right, guys. Well, we're going to jump right into what you guys are all here to listen to, I'm sure. The scandals in the hobby. And, we're merely here to be transparent, give you our opinions as somebody that's in this field, that's been in this field longer than these guys. And just, kind of share what we see. Comment below if you have any thoughts on the situation. To catch you guys up on the situation, the big scandal this week was Platinum Card Breaks was opening up a case of National Treasures football. And their main breaker, I think, is one of the owners. I don't know their inner workings. I have met them a few times. Their loud breaker, G, was opening it up, and they basically, for whatever reason, they open up the entire case first and then reorganize the cards, which is something to dive into later. But during all this, one of the customers in the chat said, hey, I think there was a redemption in one of those mini boxes, which NT has a big outer box, and then the inner box has the 8 to 10 cards in it. So apparently there was a quick glimpse of a camera of a mini box that had a redemption in it, and it was thrown to the side or thrown away. So immediately the breaker was notified and stopped what he was doing, grabbed a box that was off to the side, a mini box, and really shadily hid it from the camera. You guys, all you gotta do is search Platinum Card Breaks scam on YouTube and you'll find the video. Watch it for yourself. It's hard to explain. But the box was basically pulled off camera, and then he was yelling to his other breaker to go grab the other boxes out of the trash. The trash had just been taken out as well. So the trash comes back. He pulls out four boxes, including the one that he had in his hand the whole time that he didn't show. And then basically they find that it was a Justin Fields game gear auto patch, which Some were trying to say it's worth $5,000. I think it's closer to $1,000. I think we embellish the fact that it's a $5,000 card. It's probably an $800 to $1,000 card. It's a redemption. So a lot of questions come up. Doesn't look good. There's not a lot of not a lot of ways to justify the actions. Now, since then, G has made a video claiming, you know, it, you know, he's sorry. It was never intentional. It's just he puts the inner box to the side because of he saves them for book cards when they need to ship. And, you know, he also says he also doesn't care how it looks, that he only cares about his customers. And if you don't want to be a customer, then screw you, basically. And he went on a 20-minute rant, which is also on YouTube if you want to watch that. So, you know, just want to kind of start a roundtable discussion here. We'll start with C-Rad on what his opinion of the video was. Because, you know, breaking has become huge. And you know, we are here to talk about it because us as breakers are getting lumped in. I mean, you see people on Twitter saying, well, that's why you shouldn't buy into breaks. And that's why you shouldn't buy into breaks, because this will happen. Well, it doesn't happen with trustworthy breakers. And I want to start with C-Rad. What's your opinion on the whole situation?
Yeah, so I was sent this video, you know, a couple of days ago, and from initial glance, I actually didn't know it was G, which I'm assuming, again, also that it's their owner, their main breaker. I didn't know it was G because they do their videos kind of weird, where they have a person that's on the camera
that does the random,
that is not like actually doing the break. So I was like, oh, that's when I first initially saw the video. I was sent it from one of our customers. I was like, oh damn, I was like, that breaker is gonna get fired, like, because that's what I assumed, right? He was just like, saw the redemption and then hit it or whatever. I was like, that breaker is gonna get fired from them. I was like, okay, it shouldn't be too bad for Platinum, like, just like get rid of that breaker, you know what I mean? But then I found out it was actually G, and I was like, oh my god, bro. With them being in the industry since, you know, 2014, 2015, whenever it was, they started breaking. Like, I just always assumed, like, they should know better than that, than to do that, something like that. From all angles, it looked bad.
And the irony was, at the beginning of the break, he mentioned that he was late to start the break because he had his daughter scratching off redemptions and putting him in Panini. So that was very ironic as well. So I don't know if they have a program with their customers that they redeem the cards. I don't know. But it was very ironic to the situation.
Yeah.
Because we only probably scratch off redemptions once a year from cards that we've pulled for ourselves. And we don't offer that service to our customers. So it's like a roundup of maybe stuff that we've opened here and that we've scratched off and send it in.
Or stuff like the preview boxes that we do.
Right.
Like this. Like.
Right. So, you know, if that was the odds for us, would have been once a year that we would have somebody scratch off the red. I mean, that's besides the point, but it's very ironic.
Yeah.
It's ironic that he was saying that. And then the guy that says, run, don't walk, to get the garbage, if you watch the video. Run, don't walk. Like, hurry up. You know, like, because it's like, and G wasn't saying that. The other guy was saying that because it's like, oh, I don't know. It almost seems like it's weird. It's like, let me just go get the garbage. I'll just check, you know. Or let me just check this box to the side that I put to the side. But let's go. I think Dan has an opinion on it.
Oh, man. So I went back and forth, like...
He was initially like, they wouldn't do this.
So
he's like, they wouldn't do this.
Well, I assumed the same thing.
Well, no, I mean, I'll get to that part.
Didn't think because of the money.
I'll get the amount
of money generated that they
I'll do. Get to the redemption. I'll get to that part of it. But I'm gonna. There's a lot of like hearsay about Platinum. Like, oh, they're shady, or they're great, or nobody rips as much product. Let me tell you my personal experience with Platinum. No hearsay. This is me and them in person. We're talking Chicago. And I hate to do this. Like, I chalked it up as like, hey, maybe they had a couple too many sodas. They were in the casino. Whatever. Let it go. Move on. But stuff like this comes out, and they have a laundry list of shady stuff that they've done in the past. So... this is just making it so I don't give a crap anymore. I don't care. I'm gonna lay it out there. So I believe it is 2015 National. I'm gonna say 2015 National Platinum.
Chicago
Platinum is like new breakers on the block.
Probably ripping, first year-ish.
Ripping through product. They were at the National, not set up, but they ended up breaking at the Breakers Pavilion, which I'll go over that later. But, you know, it's after one of the events, one of the days, and we go to the casino, and I'm basically hanging out with a bunch of people from the industry. And I have people who are with me who can vouch for this story, who are still in the industry. And we're sitting there hanging out, and I overhear somebody go like, "Mojo Break, never heard of him. I don't know who Mojo Break is." And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, I look at it and I see who it is. So I'm just like, I don't even want to deal with that.
Like, well, and to prelude the story, it was another breaker who we're friends with that basically said, like, "Let me introduce you to Mojo."
Exactly, yes. And so they were off to the side, and he was like, "Never heard of Mojo Break." And then the other guy who was is my buddy was like, "What do you mean you never heard of Mojo Break? They've been doing it since 2010, whatever." And G just kept on reiterating it, like, "I don't know who they are. I don't see where they break. I don't know where they are." And then my buddy was like, "Hey, come over here. Like, I'll introduce you guys." Now, I get along with everybody. If you know me from the industry, I get along with literally everybody. There is nobody in this industry minus probably two breakers that I have an issue with, one of them being Platinum Card Breaks. And this is why. I walk over there, and I basically tell them straight up, I'm like, they're screaming like, "I never heard of you." And I'm like, "Well, what can I help you with? Like, what's the issue? I'm like, what can I do to just mellow out the situation a little bit?" And G is like screaming at me, like,
and he's
you guys don't break on like Breakers TV. I don't know who you are. You don't break on Breakers TV. I never heard of you. And I'm like, cool. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if, like, you know who I am. I'm like, you do you. I'm like, I ain't tripping. His wife, I think it's Megs, is also screaming at me. Like, we don't know who you are. And I'm like, cool. I'm like, I will explain to you. We have a website. We break on, at that time it was Ustream. So I'm like, that's why you don't find us, because, like, we're on a destination website where, like, you have to know where the URL is. We break there. Rich breaks there. I think at that point, like, Live Case Break broke there. And it's just a better platform for our customer base. Fine. And I thought that was pretty much the end of it. She's still screaming at me. And at one point, he's screaming at me. And I'm like, okay, look. I'm like, I'm going to take a step back. I'm all, if you guys have any questions, I will answer them, but I can only handle one person screaming at me at a time. So I basically look at the G guy. I'm like, can you tell her to stop screaming at me? And he's like, you don't talk to my wife like that. You don't talk to my wife in my face. And I'm like, okay, I'm all, this is like out of control. Irving, my buddy Irving, you breaker, people have been around forever. He knows me. He basically gets me and goes like, okay, we're going to go out of this situation. So he basically separates me from that whole ordeal. So That goes down. I'm pretty upset. The next day, we're at the Breakers Pavilion. They're right behind us being super loud, like obnoxiously loud. Everybody's just like kind of looking at him going,
to be fair,
like,
though, they did apologize.
They apologized to you.
Yeah, not to you.
They apologized. You didn't have an interaction with them.
Not a negative.
No, they apologized to you. They should have come up and apologized to me, and they didn't. I don't give a shit if they apologize to you. Like, why would they apologize to you?
I accepted the apology.
Yeah, on my behalf. On my behalf. Thanks. So, whatever. Like, that was basically one of my issues with them personally. And it kind of tells you, like, people.
And to stop you there, I just wanted to, why do you think they reacted that way? Was it an ego situation?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, they were,
because it wasn't an ego situation coming from you. I want to clarify that. It wasn't like you cared that they didn't know who you were.
I literally went over there because I thought, and I
you were pulled over there.
And I have these conversations all the time. I at the last National, I have breakers who start out, who come up, and they're like, can you basically tell me how to get product, or like different ideas of how we should break product, and like, what do you, like, they kind of pick our brain, and I'm an open book. I always basically go, okay, like, industry changes, but at this point in time, I may try this avenue if you haven't done it yet. I thought I was walking into a situation where they were going to ask questions like that. But they basically got in my face and were like it was an ego thing. Like, we're the number one breaker, and like, we don't even know who you are. So why are people basically walking around saying, what, you don't know Mojo Break? I'm like, dude, I don't care. Like, I don't care if you know who we are or don't know who we are. But I can tell you right now, 100%, I know you know who we are. Or you wouldn't be acting this way. Whatever. Fast forward a couple years. I'm just hovering around. I go outside. I think I'm like looking for you. And they're out there chilling, hanging out. And they basically tell you, oh, this is Doug. He's the guy from Mojo Break we like. Don't like the other guy.
Two years later.
Yeah. 2 years later. So you're holding on to a grudge. What is it about me? What is it about you? What don't you like about me? What did I do? My face?
It's your face.
It's my face. I figured it's my face.
You got a punchable face.
I do. I got a punchable face. But so that was my second interaction with them. Now, should we go over the laundry list of issues they've done? Actually, that same VIP party, they're the only group breaker that got kicked out, that I've ever seen get kicked out of a VIP party. The only one. Ask me how. Somebody ask me how.
How Cody did it happen,
how
Dan?
Did they do it? Okay, cool. So there's a VIP party. They have Michael Vick. Michael Vick is there, and everybody's taking pictures of Michael Vick. Meg's basically...
I don't know if it was her. It was somebody from
somebody
their group.
I heard it was her. But they basically start talking S to Michael Vick.
About dogs.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Vick gets mad, goes to Panini and goes like, hey, like, what is going on here? You have people who are in this party and they're coming after me. Like, this is like not cool. The head sales of Panini basically goes out there and kicks Platinum out of the VIP party. You had to spend at that point, I think it was $10,000. To be in that VIP party, they got kicked out.
And there was a new program after that year of IDing.
You had, yeah. Now you had to get
because ID. Of that situation.
Thanks, Platinum. Thanks. Can't even have a VIP party. Like, now we all got to get background checks. All right. So that is my personal interaction with them. Now, the laundry list of stuff they have done over the years. They've only been around for 8 years. In order to do as many messed up things that they've done, they've had to go actively out of their way.
Once a year, man.
To do some of the stupid things that they've done.
Once a year.
I feel bad for Dave. I feel bad because I feel that he doesn't do anything wrong. He's kind of the industry... like face of their company, deals with distributors, deals with, you know, manufacturers, deals with everybody else. And I've met him a handful of times too. He seems like a pretty straight up guy.
Yeah, he actually remembered my birthday the next year.
He
said happy birthday to
me. And he seems like a stand up dude. And I feel bad that he has to basically sweep up and deal with all the crap that people who work for him.
Yeah, because
or maybe part owners.
Nothing,
I don't know.
You know, now that I think about it, none of it's been him, right? Unless
It's never been him. So I have one more. I mean, do we want to go over the laundry list? Are you guys, you want me to go over the laundry list?
Well, I mean, some of it's obviously common knowledge, the ripping up of the Lurie Marketing Nebula, which they did purchase, but they got blasted on Instagram because they took a picture of a Lurie Marketing Nebula 101, not a rookie, probably a couple $100 card at the time. But it was in a magnetic like this, but it was the side of the card was wedged in the magnetic. So obviously the people on Instagram, it would have done it to any breaker. It would have happened to us too if we would have done that. As they said, you damaged the card. You damaged the card. Well, he took it so personal that he bought the card from the person and then went on camera and said, look, this doesn't damage the card. You know what it does? And he ripped it and cut it all up on camera and the video's out there. So that's not a great look. There was the guaranteed superfractor packs that they did years ago as well, where they bought guaranteed superfractor tops packs on eBay and they sold them to their customers. There's no way that anybody in this industry knows where superfractors are. Doesn't happen. So the only way that you can guarantee a superfractor is if you buy a resealed pack. It's the only way. It's the only way it can happen. So these guys went out and bought like $200-$300 packs, put them in breaks, guaranteed themselves a superfractor, because now they're like, we're doing a break where we're guaranteeing you a superfractor. In theory, great marketing, but the thought was like, oh, how did they find superfractors? They must know. So they claimed stupidity. They claimed that they believed the person that was selling them to them, that they were from Tops. They believed that.
Now, they had been in the industry long enough to understand that there were no Bowman hot superfractor packs.
We're assuming.
No, they know. And then for them to basically say that, oh, we figured these were from Tops Direct. Like, I could see if you had been breaking for about, I don't know, maybe a month or two.
Yeah.
And stumbled across like superfractor packs and go, oh, that would be cool to put in a break. And not do the research and not been around. Imagine how hard it would be to obtain allocation for guaranteed Bowman superfractor packs. Yeah. Tough, right?
Yeah.
Then they also had a thing where they did with a National Treasures boxes. They actually stuffed cash in them and did a deal or no deal. Remember
with
that?
With their customers, yeah.
With their customers, where... I can tell you right now, Panini, they didn't like that. They don't want people putting just straight money in a National Treasures box and being like, all right, we're going to play deal or no deal. If you want to do that, use boxes that are not branded by the manufacturer that you are representing.
Right.
Word?
It's like Panini put money in a box.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah. Because people are like, is that like some type of weird short print they're doing on boxes now? Like, that comment that I just made is about as dumb as Topps making guaranteed Bowman superfractor packs.
I think you just came up with, we need to do it. That's the greatest buyback ever, just $100 bill in
$100
every box.
Bills.
Yeah.
So which was funny is I think it was for site credit and not real money, they used the real... Basically, and you know what? And I fly by the seat of my pants sometimes on marketing. You know, obviously, I think about like that perception before I do it. But like, it was probably like, let's do something fun tonight. Panini boxes? You got how much money you got? Okay, put them in a box. Like, but it's gonna be site credit. Yeah. It's gonna be fun. But like, they didn't think about the perception of the fact that you're using Panini's branded boxes to pull actual cash out. And any kind of game like that with real money is completely illegal. I mean, let's face that. So that one got a lot of flack on that. They also got they were selling Prism on DealerNet, which is for dealers to buy stuff at way under map cost, because back then nobody wanted Prism. They probably wish they would have held onto it now, but nobody wanted Prism back then. So they sold it under what was map to move it, and then they had a 1 week ban on getting product. So,
which, like the Panini VIP party, is the only breaker that I've heard of to actually get banned from doing a release on release day. Like, they are the kings of the first time to do anything to happen in the industry. yeah. I mean, and then I think the last one we can probably talk about that I think has one of the worst ones. And it kind of has flown under the radar it's still on there. I don't know if they have deleted it yet. Maybe they have, but I know some people have probably recorded it at this point. They were opening up 2014 or 15.
I think it's 14.
14 National Treasures.
So this was like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Six or
7 years ago. They were opening up National Treasures, high-end football, and they pulled a Michael Sam. And they basically said this card should not be in here, and they basically damaged it on the spot.
Ripped it in half.
So they ripped it in half on the spot, chuckled about it, and said this card should not be in here. Now, you can say what you want about it. You can come to your own conclusion, but the fact is, not their card to do that.
Now, they did pay the person for the card.
You know what? You can keep on doing that. That's fine, but do you think the optics look good on that? Do you think that is good optics? Like what they're trying to say, that this is a high end product, this player should not be in this high end product.
Yeah, they're telling on themselves that they're a bunch of homophobes or willing to employ homophobes.
Well, yeah. I mean that's what I get out of it. So that looks poorly, and I don't know. And I get it. Like, they have, there's G and there's Dave, and they, who knows, like, how the business is split up. But I'll be honest. And we have the same situation. If you were to do anything like this, Doug, I would basically be like, in financial situations aside, I wouldn't disclose like that, but I'd be like, dude, you need to like make a sincere apology or you're going to have to resign.
Yeah.
And I would expect you to think the same about me. Now, granted, we wouldn't be in business together.
We would never do it anyway.
We would never be in business together if this was an if this was like something that could happen, a situation that could arise. It won't. And we know that. But out of respect to you, if like I like lost my mind and I like did something crazy, I wouldn't basically go, well, the business is going down with me. I'd be like, I'm going to apologize. And if that is not enough for people and you don't deem that that was enough, then I will resign and allow you to still run the business, because obviously I am not equipped of handling and running this business.
Right. And you know what? And they have a lot of followers. They obviously, and this isn't a jealousy thing. If you guys know us, if the people that really know us, and I know there's some listeners that are new that don't know us, you know we're friends with Leighton. We've talked with Leighton. We've helped Leighton. Leighton's helped us. We've talked with Chris Keller from Top Shelf Break. We have a community of breakers that are for the betterment of the hobby, as far as coming up with creative ideas, helping customer service, helping shipping, talking about products. And you can name all the biggest breakers pretty much. And we've talked to them, and we have conversations
with
them.
And we hold each other accountable.
We do.
We
100%.
Hold, like, not only are we competitors, we absolutely, we make each other better. We basically challenge each other to provide a better service for the overall community, but at the same time, we also hold each other accountable.
And these guys came in back in 14, and they did very well, and they've continued to do well, and they do a lot of product, and they are not friends with anybody. Everybody they've burned bridges with. They've burned bridges with distributors. They've burned bridges with manufacturers, as we just alluded to. They don't come to any of the summit events where we're talking about, you know, production runs and finding out about redemptions and doing stuff with the manufacturers to help improve the customer's experience. They haven't been around. So nobody can vouch. Nobody inside can vouch for them. So there's no breaker out there that can be like, hey, I got their back because they're nice and they care about the industry. In
the 8 years that they've been around, have you ever had a competitor come up to you and say, I vouch for them. They run a good business.
No,
I haven't.
I haven't had anybody call them a scant. Well, maybe I have, but like, you know, this is huge.
I've had, and we've all had the same thing. I don't knock the hustle. For the first like 4 or 5 years that they were around, I mean, nobody worked harder and hustled more than they did. And I give them credit for that, 100%. So I ain't sitting here doing 45 minutes of just knocking on them. Like, there's things that they do that I respect.
Yeah. Yeah, they open a lot of product. They get a lot of product into people's hands. Well, at least we hope. After seeing this video, hopefully it gets in people's hands. And you know what? There's obviously customers that back them, and there's people that continue to join their breaks. You know, breakers that people don't like us. People don't like Rich. People don't like, you know, people find their breaker that they like, and that's fine. But, like, my whole point is you have people that are unwilling to work with their peers and unwilling to work with the manufacturer, and now this comes up, and that's why we're doing this show. I don't care if you break with them. Good. I hope you get your cards, and I'm sure you will. But it just has to be let out. We have to, like, stand up for the community of breakers and say, like, these are all the signs. And we haven't talked about it for 8 years because it's like, all right, they're doing their business. That's fine. But when it comes to taking a card from somebody or possibly taking a card from somebody, we have to let you guys know, buyer beware.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't care if you go to mojobreak.com. I don't care about that. I don't want you to just leave them and come to us. I don't care. I just don't want you to go to them if you don't trust their process.
Yeah, I mean, if you, again, and I've said this multiple times on the hype, if you're looking for a breaker to break with, and you're like, hey, there's something about Mojo Break I don't like, send me an email. I'm like, I'll tell me what you like, what type of breaks you like, and I will point you in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we want this hobby to continue to grow. And the only way we can grow it is with people that are trustworthy, that have passion about the business, and are transparent.
Because I don't, it does create more of a black eye on our sector of the industry when we have, because indirectly, at some point, we are going to have to defend what like Platinum did, because we get lumped into it because we're all breakers.
We've already seen emails come through.
Yeah, I've already seen emails come through, like kind of alluding to the fact that like what they did, now every breaker must be shady. This is it's a hard business. Don't create more work for your competitors, please.
Right.
Like, I mean, I know. I mean, I know you're talking about the same thing. I know a customer who, or a competitor, a close friend, who got an email that kind of reiterated what you just said.
Right.
That was pertaining to.
Well, we
what
see the
just
comments.
Happened.
Everybody's like, "I'm done with breaks, and I'm going to buy my own box," and that's fine. You have a choice. You don't have to. We don't force anybody to buy. But like, don't lump somebody in that does something shady, and don't lump the whole category, because every facet of this business, there is shadiness. There's shadiness in every business. Look at shoes. Look at, like, you know, look at counterfeit jerseys. I mean, there's shadiness in every sector of sports and sports memorabilia and sports cards. So it's up to you as a consumer to you know, determine who that is with your wallet, right? So if like these guys don't sell anything, they can't break anymore. It's your choice. We're just providing you with the info about, you know, what there is to come. And one last thing, I don't want to keep piling on, but like, just to show you how much they care about their peers that are doing breaks, another thing happened when we were actually at the Breaker Pavilion. I believe it might have been around the same year.
No, it was the same year.
It was the same year.
It was actually, it might have been a day or two after my run-in.
We all had to pay at least $4,000 for our booth at the Pavilion. If we didn't do that, we had to buy a big package of product to be at the Pavilion to break. These guys, Platinum Card Breaks, did not have a booth. All right, so we're all around the main stage breaking, selling, trying to recoup, you know, what we basically, you know, paid in to do. And these guys show up with a box. They go to the stage while Ivan from GoGTS and Rob from GoGTS are doing something. Basically, they get up, they yell, and they say, "We got free boxes for all the kids," which is great. I love that. But they basically do it right in the middle of the Pavilion that they did not pay for. So they start throwing out boxes, hoping that they're going to kids. And they're all like the base stuff that they had to buy, right? They had to buy the opening day or whatever. They're throwing that out, and they're throwing it to kids. I love the fact that the kids got it. But they basically went in where everybody paid, and they said, "You know what? We're going to get just as much recognition as you guys without paying." And that, to me, that's just shitting on where we all are eating, right? So another thing, right? We don't give a S about everybody else in this break. It's all about us and our loyals. And you could see that in that video. I don't give a F if you don't like us, don't buy from us. I only care for our customers. Well, they only care for the customers. They don't care about Panini, and they don't care about anybody else in the industry.
Yeah, and I remember vividly when that was going, because Rob and Ivan, they basically had to stop what they were doing because there was so much commotion going on the side of the stage. So you basically, I mean, they're emceeing the whole national. So it's a disrespect to everybody who is in that area. It's a disrespect to GoGTS Live. Like, they were trying to do their own thing, and it's basically like, "Nope, we're coming in. We're coming in. We're going to do this." So, you know, it just shows... It shows their character, and if those are people that you want to break with, by all means, do you. It's your money.
Well, and you know, to be devil's advocate here, and I know this is running very long, and we're not allowing it. You guys haven't talked much, and I apologize, but
what do you think, C-Red?
All I was gonna say is they obviously, it's well documented, they make a lot of money. You could probably say that they're millionaires. I mean, I don't know their financials, but I would assume that they're millionaires. I would assume the guy that stole an $800 box is a millionaire. I would assume. Once again, don't know the financials. What do you say to the people who are saying, "Well, why would they steal an $800 card if they're a millionaire? Why would they risk an $800 card for an entire business that generates X amount of millions of dollars a year?"
I don't have the answer, Sway.
I mean, I don't know. All other than the few conversations I've had with him, and he mentioned it in the video that he has done shady stuff in the past. Some people are kleptos, man. I don't know. Maybe some people just love the fact that they don't get caught and they want to steal, and that's fine. I don't know if that's the case here. I'm trying to justify that as well, because there's no card. I don't even care. The triple logo man's not even worth it. There's no card in the world that would any of us that are considered larger breakers, themselves included, that you would jeopardize what you have, your living, your child's future, your home, your mortgage, that you would jeopardize that. I mean, and more importantly, your integrity as a human being.
The thing is with what we do, our number one valuable asset that we have in our company is our integrity. That's what we have. Like, in the sector of business that we're in, integrity is the most valuable asset we have. So we would never do anything to jeopardize that.
I'm going to steal from, if anybody remembers Michael Hodges' original website, STL Cards, he's now part of Clubhouse. Honesty, integrity, and transparency was like the three mottos, and that pretty much sums it up.
Well, I mean, you added two extra words to mine.
They're all in that same umbrella, right? So, yeah. I mean, what do you say, Cody, to somebody that's like, they're millionaires? Why would they steal an $800 cart?
People will still find ways to cut around it. I don't want to throw any accusations that aren't based in anything, but is it going to be something where, like, we find out they've been doing stuff like this if they've been doing it once, have they been doing it before? I don't know. It's a tough situation. They've clearly built they're still going strong to some extent, but I think that this clearly seems like a tipping point for a lot of people, and obviously for us here today. I'll just say this, kind of to tie it into the other sort of boiling point for a lot of people in the hobby with what happened with backyard breaks, which have been mired in controversy with the Trevor Lawrence, and we know about there was another video that came out about the way that they were shuffling their cards on whatnot was they were withholding one of those cards so to make sure that the Patriots by like an NT break was going to whoever they knew where it was going, basically. They're young and they are doing incredible business, but you can still be doing, like you said, $1 million, you know, making tons of money. But what does that even mean when your reputation is literally in the garbage?
Right.
Eventually, it's going to run out. You're going to put yourself on an island. You're going to isolate yourself from everybody in the industry. Now, I know there's probably people saying, well, that's not happening. Look what just happened with Backyard. That's another story. But it is, to me, it is a warning to breakers, young breakers who are getting into this, who think they can kind of fly by the seat of their pants, do things and get away with stuff because they have so far. Look at a place like this, like Platinum, like you guys have been talking about, where, again, they are making money, but, again, at what cost? And it could eventually, this could be finally the thing that kind of sets it over the edge for a lot in the
And this is a rumor, and I'm just going to bring it out there. I've heard that they're going back, and I've heard people say, and I don't know if there's any, you know, this is valid or not, this is any truth behind it, but they're deleting previous videos. If they are doing that, that essentially is like an admission of guilt, right? And if anybody wants to be an internet detective, and you think, and I actually don't know, and
I see you're gonna give the info right now that they can go delete those other videos.
Dude, they ain't gonna watch this.
It's true.
They ain't gonna watch this. Plus, like, I got a punchable face. They ain't gonna wanna. They ain't gonna wanna sit through this. go through if you think that they are stealing redemptions. Which again, I don't. I am in the same group as you guys. Like, I don't understand. You make X amount of money. Like, why would you jeopardize that to steal a redemption, regardless of what it is? But they do buybacks. So go back through their videos, and if you start seeing their buybacks with cards that you know at the time that they were pulled were redemptions, and their buybacks are loaded with redemptions, then you might be able to connect the dots with what the shadiness that they're doing with that Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I don't have time to be the internet detective. That sounds
But somebody does.
But if anybody does, I'm saying, like, if you got, you know, 30, 40 hours of time that you're just like, Whatever. I
wouldn't be surprised if somebody's doing that right
now.
Yeah,
I mean, that basically is the obvious way of going about it. We know in 20 that Joe Burrow was a redemption. So if you start seeing a lot of Joe Burrow, you know LaMelo Ball was a redemption.
Not an NT, though.
Not an NT, but if you start seeing, like,
Noir
or, like, Crown Royale and stuff like that pop up in their buybacks, especially if it's, like, I mean, it's encased by Panini. Like, Panini, they don't...
The sticker, yeah.
The sticker. So I'm just saying... And the one thing about the redemptions is that they're not traceable, right?
Right.
Like, all you know is that it's numbered to 99, but you don't know what the patch is going to look like. You don't know specifically what number it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. And that should be something that Panini does consider. I know that's probably a lot of work, but if they could actually tell you what number the redemption is going to be, and then Panini could see boxes. If this was ever in question, we could actually analyze. But
I mean,
that's a whole other subject.
Panini does know, like, what redemptions would, especially with the high-end products like NT and maybe Immaculate, that what redemptions would go in a box.
Well, and I thought at first, because I actually haven't broken a lot of NT this year, I've broken a few cases, but I was like, we just count 32 cards. But as I've learned, there's some boxes have 8, some boxes have 10, some boxes have 11. Because I was thinking, if you took a redemption, there would be 31 cards, right? So count 31 cards. How many times have they had only 31 cards? But what also plays to the fact that he doesn't show the inside of the box, and he takes the base cards and stacks them to the top and reorganizes it for what he considers to be a show. Like, he doesn't want all the main hits on the bottom, so it's a show.
And they've been doing that forever.
Right. And I understand it. I would never do it because I have to show each box, and we show each box when it comes to high end. And the break's only 10 minutes anyway. What are we going to... You're going to save 2 minutes?
Yeah, I prefer to show box by box.
My thing is that, like, man, we've been breaking for 12 years. And we've been breaking high end products forever. Like, when you open up NT and you, like, take the cards out and put them out, every single one of us shows an empty box. Here's the empty box. And you know who I learned that from? The great Chris Justice.
Yeah.
Watching his breaks, you know, back in, you know, 08, 07, 08, stuff like that. Like, when he would open up a box and be like, empty. And then throw it to the side.
And, yeah, and I mean, not to just keep adding to it. I mean, when you... NT is a 15-minute break, maybe, right? If you're doing box by box. So you're going to save 2 minutes by stacking the cards up, but then he's also looking at them all. So I like the element of surprise. I don't want to know what's coming out, right? So he's actually taking the case, and that could add to the conspiracy theory as well, because now he knows where all the cards are. So he's actually taking all the main hits, putting them on the bottom, and taking the base cards and putting them up at the top. So he actually knows everything that's coming out already.
He's just...
Right? So why? I want to know. I want to be genuinely excited when I pull you that shield, because I didn't see it coming. So, like, now it's like I know a shield's coming, and how can I genuinely fake that excitement now? So
it's all the anticipation of the cheese, bro.
I guess. Cheese sauce, man.
It's all about the anticipation of that cheese sauce.
So... enough on that subject.
It's a good thing that, like, I've been really, really working on my cardio, because if they ever do show up, I'm probably gonna have to run somewhere really fast. So hey, cool. Like, you know, it is what it is.
If they show up, I'll be like, what's the dirty work?
All right, it's fighting time. Can I be on their team?
No, I'm like, I would never do that to you.
And
I would never do that.
And I'm confident. They don't have anybody on staff that's gonna be able to catch me. So. And I'm not above running.
Fastest man in the breaking
community.
Dude,
actually, you can make an argument. I may not be the youngest. I may be the fastest group breaker in the industry.
Not opening, but running.
Running.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you're running. No, yeah, I'm probably the slowest opening. But when it comes to running, I actually might get... I don't know. I'm trying to think. Who do you think? Who do you think could take me in a quick 40-yard dash?
Probably Brian Gavin.
If there is anybody who can take me, I would probably say the great Brian Gavin might do it.
I mean, it could be Run Good Life, too. He's got Run in his name.
That's right.
He's got to be great.
Yeah, it ain't Run Dan Anderson.
Right, exactly. All right.
Before we move on, Do we want to bring up the backyard stuff?
I think I saw a lot more. I mean, and again, backyard is more of a, feels like it's more of a lightning rod than Platinum is because it's newer and they're, and Luber was there.
Well,
but that's just where I'm at.
Yeah, those guys haven't tried to fight me.
We've sure. also,
there's
we've
also that. I understand.
We've also went in on backyard a lot
we
before.
We have. That's true.
And so, they're not experienced as much as these
that's
guys.
That's true. That's true. So you can chalk it up to
like, I mean, the thing is that Platinum should know better.
Right. Okay.
Backyard, they...
I just was going... Right. They're young and they're
little breaker babies.
For me, when I saw it, I didn't think it was that big of it. I was indifferent about it, personally.
I mean, money talks and bullshit walks,
right,
man.
Like I said, everyone was like, they're making such a big deal that he was breaking with them, but it's like, but he did videos with us. He did videos with other breakers. This is not the first...
I was surprised because I didn't know about their other controversies.
We're talking about Backyard and Platinum, right? What's the difference as far as nobody? Platinum has never had a manufacturer, and the numbers are there.
Yeah.
The numbers are there, right?
Yeah.
So why? So why does Josh Luber go to Backyard?
Why didn't he go to North Carolina?
Why didn't he go to Platinum?
Right.
So is it the appearance? Like, is it the appearance of their business compared to the appearance of Backyard's business? Because I would probably say the numbers aren't far off.
I mean, Yeah, you're right. The numbers are probably not that far off.
Could it be that the people at Fanatics went to distributors and they basically all told them no? Could it be that? So it shows you about reputation there, right? Yeah. As far as the distributors know about Backyard, because they're fairly new, they know that they're spending a lot of money. So, you know, the distributors are also probably turning a blind eye on the Trevor Lawrence situation. You know, so that's the opinion. If you compare the two, and people say, well, he wouldn't go to Platinum, and for reasons I don't know, other than maybe the only thing I could guess is the reputation that they have. Now, you may laugh and say, well, what about the reputation for Backyard? They obviously have seen past that, and whether that's good or bad, like Dan said before, it's money talks.
Yeah, and for better or worse, they are still early enough in this where you think they've got time to grow. They have time to fix things up. And from the outside, it's like, look at what these bunch of kids in their eyes
and
just put together, which is, yeah, when you look at it from that way and you take all the other emotional stuff out of it, a bunch of kids getting together and becoming a force in this community this quickly is extremely impressive.
Well, and that's what I was going to say as well. You kind of reminded me of that, is they are looking towards the future, being Fanatics in this instance, and Zero Cool. They are looking towards the future. We've used the dinosaur before. Maybe they don't find our breaks exciting. We may do close to the volume of Backyard, but they are like, these guys might usher in the new young collectors that we're going after. So youngest, most money, that's maybe the simple facts of why that trailer was hitched at the beginning to them. I'm not saying they're hitching their trailer, but they went over there. I was confused on the Backyard thing of why they chose a Panini product to break. That's where
I was actually, and to reiterate, to jump on that as well, not only a Panini product, but a Panini product that doesn't lend well to group breaking.
Right.
12-13 Prism, we all ripped a lot of it. A lot of it. For years. For years, we ripped a lot of 12-13 Prism. It is not a real exciting product to rip.
Now, people said that was Luber's case, correct? Has that been confirmed?
I don't know.
If that was the case, he'd be like, I'm going to show up and I'm going to make 100K. You know what I mean? Like, they took home. Obviously, they took some of that in too. And they're like, we'll pay for your product and you come out and break with us. And he's like, cool, I'm going to make 100K. Sounds easy. Sounds fun.
Sure.
If it was his case, I don't know.
Sure. And as far as I know, they had 10,000 people in the stream. So it's pretty good. Yeah. To watch a product that is not exciting to rip.
Yep.
I mean, 910 NT, if I was going to do a Panini product, I'd be like, let's go 910 NT, because then we're like, there's going to be some exciting stuff.
But we did have, before we leave on the Backyard, 3-on-3 Basketball Backyard, hit us up. National, let's do it.
Oh, you... oh.
Damn.
Let me know, though. I got to get in shape.
You know, I'm almost 40 years old.
I think you guys are going to need young Greg for this one.
Yeah, we are, he is. He's our point.
But I'll just be a mascot. That's all
I'm in the best shape of my life right now. So let's do this.
Maybe we'll do something for charity. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't involve us having to win, though.
Like, dude, charity, no matter what. I'm sorry. Like, I don't think we'll lose.
Ooh.
I say it's about 50-50.
It's a bold statement.
I am a great basketball player, but I am out of shape.
First off, young Greg, he might be as good as Steph Curry. We don't know. We haven't seen him play.
We'll wait to see how good young Greg is before we get back
to
you.
Gotta make sure young Greg gets some shorts on there a little bit longer, but, you know,
Jordan
besides
Poole,
that.
Baby.
That's what's in now. He's the CEO.
I am telling you, we're going out there on Mojo Break, like, get up, and shorts will be like Allen Iverson, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, it's time for another box battle. We've got the brand new Upper Deck SP Authentic Golf. Tiger Woods donning the cover, and if some of you do collect golf, you know that the biggest autograph rookie of Tiger Woods is from SP Authentic Golf. So this should hit really big in your hobby stores. You can find it on, so we're doing some breaks with it at mojobreak.com, so head on over to there. And all your local card stores that are diamond dealers should be carrying this, and I think it's already going up. You're looking at two autographs per box, 18 packs, 4 cards per pack, which means 6 packs. C-Rad is going to open the box because he feels like that's going to get him a hit.
Yep.
We're looking at big rookies of Justin Thomas. Colin Morikawa's back in here. Sign of the times of Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas would be huge. They also have exquisite autos of Tiger in here. So chance at some huge hits. They don't make a lot of golf sets throughout the year. I think this is the second or third one this year.
This is the third one, and I think this is the third and final one for the year.
Yeah,
so there's only going to be...
For the year, you know, what's funny about that, we got 2 releases last year, like SP...
Oh, well, I'm lumping them all together.
These are all the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the confusing part, because this is literally coming out the year after those other two. Like, we waited a long time for this product is what I'm trying to say.
Supply chain issues.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to all
I figured I'd get mine started.
Oh, man. These are a little tough to open.
Looks like I got... talk about that design. It does look very classic, right?
Very classic. Kevin Kisner.
Talk about that design.
Duffner. Looks like came straight from Tiger's rookie year design.
It does. And that's one thing that Upper Deck has always done well is the designs. Their hits, their base, always been really clean. I feel... You know, and it's sad they don't have really any other licenses besides golf and hockey. But from a design standpoint, I don't think there's anybody better.
Just not Marvel, dude. You're just Marvel's a huge category.
Oh, does that count?
Yep.
Sorry. Sports cards, baby.
But you know, it is what it is.
Oh, is C-Rack going to go hitless again?
Marvel's huge.
Marvel is here. I think they just had a Marvel release, right?
Justin Thomas rookie. Come on, man. Give me a hit, baby.
And the show the dummy card, man. That's I mean, years and years and years we've had dummy cards that have had nothing on them, and then Upper Deck's like, hey, check us out, follow us.
You know, I call that changing the game.
It's a game. It's a game changer.
It's a game changer, changing the game.
Come on, man, Danny Willett. That is a insert. That's another old school design, right?
Yeah, it's a Moments design, I believe. Right, does it say Moments on it?
Nope, nothing on the front there. Just the
which player is
name.
That one?
JB Holmes.
Nice.
And Jack Nicklaus.
Oh, wow.
Golden Bear. And you skunked.
I didn't even get no hits.
Skunked again.
All right.
You can't win the guess the price. Can't pull any autos. Man.
So,
but
here we go.
The Warriors will get you a win.
Yeah, I don't like
it. Next time you got to be in the middle.
There's another.
C-Rad.
What's up?
Next time you got to be the second guy to do it, clearly. That's what it is.
Dan might not have anything either.
Got two dummy cards back to back. And I had them long. Man, how many? You know, the one thing you got to say about Upper Deck that is pretty consistent is the amount of dummy cards. Always. Justin,
well, you know,
Sue.
You got to make sure that people don't feel in those finger
Tom
those packs.
Lehman.
You know?
What'd you say?
You can't finger the pack in the shop.
Arnold Palmer. Yeah. Ooh,
nice.
That is.
That's nice.
Spectrum Effects. You can scratch that off.
Oh, that is sweet.
That is sweet.
Great iced tea.
Do you know what makes an Arnold Palmer?
I don't.
Okay.
Ice tea lemonade.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah, that's common knowledge, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a difficult one.
Well, I show it, and he's all great iced tea. Well, that's not.
I mean, it's not technically iced tea, I guess. Yeah, it's half iced.
It's a drink.
It's a cocktail. It's a non-alcoholic cocktail, essentially.
Ooh, that is a Justin Thomas.
Ooh, that's the rookie.
It's like a bronze.
No rookie card logo on it. Maybe an insert. Sick though. Arnold Palmer, black and white. Love that photo.
Classic design.
That's how you dress. That's how you dress right there.
If you're a golfer, I don't golf.
You did really good at the Hot Golf, Top Golf.
Hot
Golf.
Please. Nobody ever come to
is that kind of like hot yoga? Is hot golf
just really get your swing and
golf
there.
Inside of a large sauna?
Love buckets, Doug.
It's lefty luck, baby.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Let's hope there is hits in this box.
You know me. I like big hits.
It's because I had the logo on mine. That's why it was meant to be.
The Palmer is nice.
It is sick. Again, that is a. It's a great look.
Tim Herron. Jason Duffner Authentic Moments, August 13, 2000.
Oh, it has their career earnings on the back.
Yep. Annika Sorenstam. Maverick McNeely. That's a great golf name. Molinari. David Duvall. And an Authentic Moments of Justin Thomas and Francesco Molinari.
This dude's made $25 million. Arnold Palmer made $1.8 million.
Justin Thomas. How much has Justin Thomas made?
Sign of the times.
JB 30 million. Holmes.
Any guess on Tiger's earnings?
Oh, jeez. Oh, hundreds of millions. I mean, he's a billion-dollar athlete.
$650 million.
It says $118
million.
Yep. Oh, well.
Not including the Nike, right?
Endorsements.
I hit two Tiger cards. Is one of them an SP?
That's a lot for just the
UD one. That's base card one.
18 million.
And that's one. That's weird.
Arnold Palmer.
So if you look at these Tiger cards here, I got one, and then I have UD one. Emma Talley, Blair O'Neill, KJ Choi, Julie Inkster, Jason Duffner, Mark Wilson, Lori Kane. Got a Maria, yeah. And a Francesco Molinari auto. That's big. Bam. On card. Look at that thing. That's beautiful.
Look, I don't want to be that guy, but I'll be the bad guy, Doug.
We know after that last segment we did, right? Payne Stewart, oh, RIP, what a classic. DA points. And a rookie auto of Alexander Bjork. Wonder if there's any relation.
To Bjork?
Yeah.
Singer Bjork?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So I got the two autos, Justin Sue and Angela Stanford.
I got a, how many career wins do you think Arnold Palmer has? Or had.
I don't know this off the top of my head.
You
know this.
Just not even going to throw a guess out there.
I used to know this. Let's say
throw it out there.
118. Probably way under
125.
50.
And the winner is, I guess it would be 73. I guess it's Conrad.
Yeah. Jeez.
All right. See.
Way over.
So Conrad wins sometimes.
All right. Be sure to check out some SP Authentic golf box breaks at mojobreak.com. We're doing a random letter. So a cheap chance of getting a Tiger Woods or Justin Thomas or Nicholas.
And you get a lot of base cards from this one, whereas in SP Game Use and the other product artifacts, you weren't getting a lot of base. Right. You know, it was more like.
And these are going to be, I think, the base cards and the rookie cards that you're going to want.
Definitely.
To collect. Out of the three. SP Authentic is always one, especially in hockey, it's one of the premier rookie cards that you want to get. So
absolutely.
I wish we still had basketball.
I know. Well, there's hoping. All right, guys. We do have that, was that Fleur Metal coming out? It'll have Jordan. That should be,
I got some 1314 SP Authentic.
Hallelujah. That's pretty dope.
I do. I think we have two cases of it.
Let's get it.
Oh, with Giannis.
Giannis.
Yeah. All right, the finals. The Eastern and Western Conference finals are here. There's four teams left. Mavericks, Celtics, Warriors, and Heat. Down to four, and then there was four. I want to discuss all team and all, you know, Homer hats aside, which matchup is the best for the hobby in the NBA finals? Which two teams would lend themselves the best for the hobby?
Easy.
Start with C-Rod.
Warriors, Celtics.
Easy. Homer hat.
I agree. Warriors, Celtics. And Luka's scrub, dude. Look at him.
Scrub. Yeah, but you can't buy 10, 11 product or 9, 10 product.
I don't care, man. You can buy 17, 18.
I think, dude, if you're talking about hobby, Luka's the only one. But if you're talking about the Warriors, guys who are invested in Poole, guys who are invested in Wiseman, even though he's not playing, they're like, okay, this is the future that he's of the team he's going to be on. Guys that are obviously still investing in Klay and Steph.
You know, Draymond. Like,
Dre too, to a lesser extent, but
Kerr.
Why not? Is Kerr gonna be back tonight?
Dude, there's guys on both sides.
There's people.
Let's just go crazy. Bielitsa.
People are Otto Porter PCs. Like they're pulling them out right now. No, I'm not.
The only person, if the Mavericks make it to the finals, it's only gonna help Luka collectors. That's one set of collectors. Warriors have a different. Like there's multiple guys you can still want.
Brunson.
Oh come on, dude.
He scrubbed?
Spencer Dinwiddie, baby.
Oh, okay. Now you're...
You know what? I remember Spencer Dinwiddie in 14-15 when his cars were selling for a dollar. Now they go for $1.50. Congratulations.
I do have to say, because I know people are like, what are you talking about? You're alluding to you want the Mavericks in there. Well, if this was Krell, I'm eating it, because I was wrong. He's not a scrub.
Oh, he's a scrub.
He's not a scrub.
He's a scrub. He's a scrub. Watch.
It's ironic. All right. It's ironic that we
Warriors 4-0.
Oh, God.
And you know, this sucks, because last time I said this, they were like, the Warriors are not going to lose another game. That night, they were down by 55. So.
And yeah, I was going to say, you sure you want to see? You're just setting yourself up for disaster again, Dan.
But whatever.
You love the pain.
No, but the thing is that what happened, though? What happened? Warriors came back. They ended up winning. They won the series. But Luka's just not. He's not on the Warriors level.
But see, we talked S. They were the Suns were up 2-0. It's like it just completely flipped. Luka, I mean, he looks like the slowest man on the court, but somehow creates a shot. I will tell you
the reason why the Mavericks are not going to. They're going to get run out of the arena. Is the fact Luka can't play defense. Luka can't play a lick of defense. The Warriors are going to eat him alive.
All right. Well, I hope so. I mean, as you see here.
And he'll put up his stats. Like, you're going to look at the stat line and go, man, Luka had another game. It must not have been his fault they lost. But it was. Because he can't stop.
On fire lately.
He cannot play defense. And you got to be able to play defense.
I'm excited. We're about almost an hour away.
We still got tickets. So are the four of us going right now?
Let's jump in. Make it happen.
But, I mean, my opinion is Boston and Dallas is the best for the hobby.
Yeah.
Okay? And the reason being is it's 1819 products. So many prisms that people have watched go down. Now, they won't ever go back to 1800 like they were when I bought one. They'll probably be more than 400. They're probably more than 400 now. We have cases of 1819 that we can
sell your Luka right now. Sell your Luka today. Sell it. Get it right now. Buy it now. Best offer up on eBay right now.
Let's do it.
Luka could still have a series where he scores he averages 40 points and they end up losing. That's still a possibility.
Because he can't play defense.
Dude, I was going to say, I still don't think Dallas in the finals is necessarily the best for the hobby. Like, Luka still has, and I'm still a believer in Luka. He has so many more years to go, dude. Warriors, again, they have so many different set of collectors. I forgot Kuminga. People are collecting Kuminga as well. Like, they have a bunch of guys other people are collecting. Like, you're looking at least 5-6 different guys that you can collect. Luka is only good for one set of hobby collectors.
But see, it does, and I've turned my hat around because. It's the backyard philosophy that we just had in the last segment. I don't understand why people break with them, but they do. I don't understand why people buy Luka, but they do.
I understand why people buy Luka. I do.
He's good.
More people.
He's really, really good.
You guys can't say
that Jordan Poole is better than, because there's more Luka cards than any of these guys out there.
If Luka was on the Warriors, I'd put him as a sixth man. He can get the hobby, like maybe 15 minutes a game.
The hobby eats.
He's a defensive liability. I wouldn't want him starting.
All right. Can I?
The Mavericks.
I want to see Cody's.
The Mavericks may be better if he doesn't play.
All right. We've been talking.
Here.
We've talked about the other three teams, and I noticed no one is mentioning the Miami Heat. Who, yes, I know, are
Jimmy Butler may be the best all around player left.
Exactly.
Besides Curry.
And the point of his
point. Butler plays D, man. That guy does it all.
I was looking at some comps for some of the cards here for Luka and Tatum and Curry, and then compare that to Butler, who just pales in comparison. And I get it, he's not on the Bulls anymore, but like, I was looking at the track record for him, and since he's been a rotation player, since he's been either starting or in the rotation, 10 of the teams he's been, 9 out of 10 years he's gone to the playoffs. He took a Minnesota Timberwolves team that had probably no business making the playoffs to the playoffs, was a freak shot away from an Eastern Conference Finals appearance with the Sixers, and now he's 3 wins away, as of this recording, of a second finals appearance in the last 3 years. What is it going to take for Jimmy Butler to get the respect he deserves?
He's not flashy.
He's not. And the stat lines are like,
bro,
they're good stat lines, but they're nothing like nothing is ever. There's never been a season where you say he's the best player in basketball.
Yeah, his stats are impressive though. Like from last night, like 40 something, and he didn't make no threes, so he got those the hard way.
Dude, he was everywhere last night. He was not only their best offensive player, he was their best defensive player.
Yeah. I just don't. Yeah, I guess it's looking at the stat line like, he is, like, every year he's really good, but there's never been a year where you can say he's the best player in basketball. There's never – I don't think he's ever even been a first-team All-NBA.
Who, Luka?
No, Jimmy Butler, who we're talking about. Get with the conversation. So I guess that's what's going against him. I'm trying to think, like, who's a comparable player in NBA history to what we're seeing with Jimmy Butler? Like, always winning, always an all-star, but, like, is maybe in his best year.
Jamie Foxx.
Like, just sixth or seventh best player.
Jamie Foxx. I thought you said who he looks like.
Actually, how about this? Like, somebody who didn't Karl Malone? Like, not
Karl
Bill,
Malone
not
though
the
was an
way?
MVP though. Like he was like,
but
anyway,
he wasn't winning many championships.
No,
was he?
But like there were years where you could say Karl Malone was one of the two or three best basketball players in the NBA. Whereas Butler, I think on his best year is like the fifth or sixth best.
Dwayne
player.
Wade?
Maybe it's D Wade. Maybe it's D Wade.
Oh no!
I'd say Wade is better.
I feel like Dwayne's
Wade
way
is
higher
better
than Jimmy B.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Sorry.
Yeah, I do too. You're flat wrong.
And you guys aren't coming up. I'm the only one coming up with names.
Because I really can't figure
rings,
one out. It's
Dwayne
tough.
Wade.
Clyde Drexler.
Yeah, maybe Clyde the Glide. Yeah. That actually might not be a bad comp.
Oh yeah, I agree with Doug.
Carmel, come on. Shit. You're talking about the man who was like he's one of the top 3 scorers in NBA history. Come on now, Carmel Malone. Not that I
Penny
know,
Hardaway?
I'm not loving Carmel Malone.
Penny Hardaway couldn't stay healthy.
T-Mac.
T-Mizzle.
T-Mac was also injury prone, right? Kind of.
Some
T-Mac
years.
Might be up. Yeah, that might not be on either.
Vince Carter?
Yeah. Well,
Vince Carter. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. Well, I mean, I guess we're...
Jimmy Butler
has
to play for another 35 years
that's
to get
true.
To Vince Carter.
Well, guys, we'll hear your comments below on this subject here on the video here on Mojo Break. Make sure you hit subscribe and check out, see if we're live. Jump in and say hi to C-Rad, me, myself, or Greg, or Cody, and see if we're live right now. We might be breaking and say,
Dan.
Hey.
Or Dan.
I'm like, sorry, I totally let you out.
Like
or the mailman, Dan, Karl Malone. totally. But, yeah, make sure you guys hit subscribe here. And, next week we will talk about the football because we're going to have –
because we're going to be there.
Inside information.
We're going to be there.
We're going to have some inside information. So, but make sure you guys use that code that I put in my mouth. I don't remember what it's called.
May Hype?
May Hype on MojoBreakShop.com. Here it is with my DNA on it. May Hype. That'll get you 10% off on MojoBreakShop.com for
MojoBreakShop.com.
Yep.
MojoBreakShop.com.
Yes, remember that. I don't want to get an email. So, Troy, do you want a break? Use May Hype. No, it's only MojoBreakShop.com. No breaks.
May Hype. mojobreakshop.com.
Yes. And we got some great prices on some soccer boxes. We got the brand new products up there. We got Pokemon if you're looking for a gift or if you're into Pokemon. We got tons of stuff on mojobreakshop.com shipped around the world. So get in on that right now and use that code. And it's going to expire, I don't know, maybe tomorrow. So get it now. And we'll see you guys on next week's hype. Peace.